What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, welcome back to hour number two, Shift Change. As Joel Nelson is in the hot seat, Matt Harkins has just left the building. And Joel will be here all the rest of the day. Does a great job as always. Want to thank Joel and also thank our sponsors, PNC Bank. Make today the day at PNC. Number one Cochrane shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Also, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, right next to the live casino. Come see what everyone is talking about. Shandorovich, Shandorovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. The Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Twitter is provided to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. All right, open lines until 1 here, and then Paul will get here and take over until we get you to SEC football. But wanted to talk about the Penguins, just because they're coming home tonight after a very nice effort on the road at Tampa. They fell behind 2-0 and came back, took a lead on a goal by Jeff Carter, and it was the first one of his season. Boy, that was needed. It was the go-ahead goal. They overcame that 2-0 deficit, and then Tristan Jarry gets a goalie goal, which you never see. And that was a celebratory moment for him and them on the plane as they left Tampa heading back to Pittsburgh. But Philadelphia's a little bit better than people thought. Carter Hart will be in goal, I believe, for them tonight. You know, they come in with one more point than the Penguins do. Penguins got to go on a little bit of a roll here. And beating Philadelphia would certainly help. I imagine Tristan Jarry will be in the net tonight for the Penguins after that goal the other night. So the Penguins still have some issues that have to be rectified. Still high on my list is that power play and what they do with it and simplifying it so that you create chances based on sort of a helter-skelter approach when you put the puck on the net. Get rebounds, you force the defense to break down. You do a lot of things that I think you'd want to do with a man extra on the ice. You want to get those possibilities increased. They're excellent puck movers, there's no question. They got skill all over the place, but they're lacking something on that power play, and it has to change as this season goes on. 412-928-9370. If you have a take on that, please let me know. In the meantime, we also have the Steelers and the Cardinals tomorrow. It's a big game because it's the first of back-to-back games in 4 days here in Pittsburgh. You got two-win teams, so it seems fairly obvious they got to win both of those games. Two very struggling teams, and you know Arizona's a team that people are quitting on them right now. Zach Ertz doesn't want to be part of it. He's out. He was their starting tight end. They have Kyler Murray coming back. Boy, they gave him a lot of money, and I don't know if that's well worth it. The only guy who's, you know, when he's in there, James Conner gives you everything he's got. He's averaging 5.1 yards per carry. He's got a couple of touchdowns over 500 yards, so he's a reliable guy, as is Hollywood Brown. They brought him over from the Ravens. But we'll see what happens. The Steelers should win this with ease, and I'd like to see them win it in a very impressive fashion. They started to do that last week with co-offensive coordinators and Eddie Faulkner. And Mike Sullivan and Faulkner was real good this week in listening to some of the interviews that he did, talking about how all coaches were involved in the game planning of this last game. And it made it seem like Matt Canada was not necessarily doing that and was making all the decisions. And I'm sure he consulted with people, but more so in this approach by this group of coaches now with input from players as well. All of that's very important. So we'll see what it means coming out of that game last week in Cincinnati where they won 16-10 and what they can do with Arizona, a struggling team that's obviously looking to get a high draft pick if they can. And then after that, it's the very interesting New England Patriots. It's Bill Belichick, but they have no offense whatsoever. So they're going to bench Mac Jones. He's been benched a lot this year. And instead, you're going to see Bailey Zappe. Another invitation for this defense to get after it with both kind of quarterbacks here. Although it's more of a problem with Kyler Murray because he can do some different things, that make it difficult to try to figure him out. So that's going to be a big week for the Steelers. If they do that, then they have three games left. They have Indy, they have Cincinnati, they have Baltimore. Indy's playing well, but you got Gardner Minshew, who is as much capable of throwing five touchdown passes as he is five interceptions. Jonathan Taylor, I don't know if he's going to be here or not for this game. Needed some thumb surgery or something of that nature, and they're looking at 2 to 3 weeks. That puts him right in line with that game. Will he be able to do that? So things are lining up for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So what do you think? 412-928-9370 on Twitter or X. It's at KD Pomp. Let me know what you think about what the Steelers should look like at the end of the year. You can make a case 11-6 is very attainable. You can even go further than that if you want. That last game of the year could be for it all in the AFC North. And I say that because of the Ravens' schedule mostly. They have four legitimate potential playoff teams waiting for them. Not next week. They're off this week. But they have the Rams next week at home. They should win that game. So that gets them to 10-3. Then they go to Jacksonville against the team that's going to really want to win because they have opportunities down there in Jacksonville. That'll be a tough game. Then they fly West Coast to San Francisco, still battling for the number one seed out there. And try if they beat Philly tomorrow, that'll make that game even bigger. Then Miami comes to Baltimore. And say what you want about Miami. They've been much better at home than on the road. But they still have the firepower that could pose problems before the last game of the year, which is the Steelers heading to Baltimore. So, looks to me like the Steelers have an advantage there. If they get to that last game and it means the division, that will be fun to watch for sure because all those games are always tightly played, featuring a lot of defense, everything like that. One updates some of the stats with regard to T.J. Watt, who is now co-leader of most sacks in the NFL. I think he's on pace, Joel, if my math is correct, to be pushing 20-plus sacks here. You know, it depends on the games you have. He's at 13.5, tied with Hunter, Mack, and Garrett is right behind at 13. Josh Allen, not the quarterback, the Jacksonville guy, has 12. Max Crosby, 11.5. So T.J. Watt still looking for another opportunity. Could have put a bid in for Defensive Player of the Year. He's been that good again.
I'd say so. And, you know, if he gets another 2-sack game in any game this season, he just needs 5 other ones to get to 20. Yeah, I would say so. It's most certainly possible.
Yeah, and you look at who he's going to be playing, like I said, depending on how they key for him, and the times that he hasn't been able to get to the quarterback, he and Highsmith both, they've taken on some of that 49ers scheme offensively where they get rid of the ball very quickly and they kind of scheme against Watt and Highsmith. So we'll see what it can do. Landon Roberts has been terrific for them on the inside. Minka Fitzpatrick will be back, so that's good. But I got to, the play of the game last week turned out to be Trenton Thompson, the interception. They were moving right down the field. And it looked like they were going to be in scoring position, at worst a field goal. And this was a bad throw, I thought, by Jake Browning, too. Chase had quick out pattern, and he took too long to get it there, and Trenton Thompson did a good job. He stepped in front of it, and the Steelers marched down the field the other way to get the lead in that game. 412-928-9370. In the first hour, I talked about a change that I'd like to see when it comes to replay, since we spent a lot of time this week talking about that, and that would be on scoring plays. Currently, it has to be deemed a scoring play, which means a touchdown called on the field. Well, I would change that to possible scoring plays because Johnson was a scoring play, even though it was ruled incomplete, right? It was a scoring play. The replay would have confirmed it was a score, but they never let it get to that because Mike Tomlin didn't challenge that. But it shouldn't be on the coach at that point. It should be on the league. If they're really looking to automatically review scoring plays, that's a scoring play. It was. And it shouldn't have come down to that. But it did, and they should have still challenged it. I would have at 412-928-9370. Can't say enough about their draft picks this year. I think they've really done well, specifically Joey Porter Jr. Man, you know, you look talk about Broderick Jones. He's been just a tremendous infusion of talent and energy at the right tackle position. But Joey Porter Jr. is chasing all the big dogs around. And this past week, Ja'Marr Chase. Now, when with him, following him around, Chase had four receptions for six targets, 81 yards. But you remember the first one was a ricochet that should have been intercepted, and it ends up going for a lucky 31 yards. Porter is not shy about doing that, and we'll see what happens. You know, you got Hollywood Brown tomorrow. They don't have a big cast of depth there in the wide receiver spot. But in several weeks down the road, you're going to still have these opportunities, and he's going to want that assignment. If you look at those two picks, terrific. If you look at what's happened with Keanu Bennett, he's gotten better and better and better. Benton has been as good as, you know, anyone in the first year coming in, plugging up holes and doing a good job on that defensive line. And then you have Darnell Washington. He's really added to the run game, but he should be more used in the pass receiving game, and maybe we'll see that. And then after that, of course, Nick Herbert. Every time he comes into the game, Nick Herbert makes a play, and he just can't get any playing time because the guys in front of him are occupying all the playing time. But when he's in there, take notice of him. He always is around the football, number 51. 412-928-9370. The other big story today will be the ACC championship game, the Big Ten championship game, the Big 12, and the SEC. We saw last night that Washington punched their ticket, I think. How could you not? They beat Oregon second time this year. That's 3-5, and they did it 34-31 in a battle of two really good quarterbacks. So they win the Pac-12. They go undefeated. That'll be the last Pac-12 team we see, unless they can figure out how to save that conference. So they're in. Today you have Georgia-Alabama, 1-8. People expect Georgia to win. I do too. But if Alabama should win that game, you'll see it 4 o'clock on KDK. Then things get a little interesting. Number 2 Michigan will be at Iowa. The Big Ten championship game, but Iowa's just, they can't score. Michigan should win that game. Wouldn't it be interesting if they lost, though, and see what would happen? The big question will be, is Florida State worthy? And I always defer to this, though. I will say, if you go undefeated in a Power 5 conference and you win your championship game, then you deserve to be in. People are going to say the committee maybe doesn't want them in because they don't have their starting quarterback. Okay, they still deserve it based on what they had to do. We can debate, you know, the strength of schedule of all these teams because there's some good, there's some bad. You know, I'm not convinced Florida State's schedule is any better or worse than what I see from Ohio State, for example. You can look at Texas, the Big 12 against Oklahoma State. Okay, compare the schedules. Texas beat Alabama. That's a marquee win for sure for them. But you get into the subjective view about what these rosters are. I think Florida State, if they win, should be in. 412-928-9370. Brian in Pittsburgh joins us right now on the Bob Pompiani Show. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you today?
Pretty good. Hey, yeah, I wanted to chime in a little bit on the Deontay catch or the rule. I don't get that, you know. I agree with you. Every single scoring play should be reviewed, and every single turnover should be reviewed. And it can be done quickly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the turnovers are reviewed, and so are scoring plays. I'm just saying that was a scoring play, but because it was called incomplete, they deem it wasn't a scoring play. That's failure of the official doing their job.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, you know, the 2 feet. You know, then you got to survive the ground 3 feet.
No, you don't have to survive the ground anymore. That changed.
And but then on a running play where a running back can dive, and as soon as the nose of the ball breaks the plane, he can fumble, but that's a touchdown.
And right. Yet,
that wasn't a touchdown for Deontay. I mean, it's just there's too many micromanaging these rules, and it makes it frustrating, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it does. And again, to me, a simple solution, add one word to there, possible scoring plays, and you got it all figured out, at least for now, until something else happens, and then next year they'll look at another change, because there's always going to be change when you're dealing with replay.
That's it. I mean, this what's the NFL, a billion-dollar industry?
Multiple, you know, billion.
I always tell people, like, you and I, if we're sitting at home, right, and I had a conversation with my brother last weekend, I said, whenever you're watching a football game, and there's a play that, you know, is a little cloudy on what happened, you can watch the replay yourself, what, maybe two, three times tops, and you already got your decision made within 20 seconds. I don't understand why they can't appoint somebody up in that booth to go to every game, and just that's his job, to correct the call.
Well, I think they already have that. It may not be up in the booth, but they have it with what they do in New York City. You know, so it's just a matter of expanding things and wording of plays, that's all. And, when they changed the rule, Jesse James, that was a touchdown, but he had to survive the ground then. Now you don't have to do that. That would have been called a touchdown today. So with replay, there are always going to be tweaks, and that's one of them. Thanks very much for the call, Brian. Appreciate that. Now let's go to McMurray. We have Ernesto on the line. What's up, Ernesto?
Good day, Mr. Pompeiani.
Good day to you.
I don't understand how Tomlin doesn't have a dedicated replay guy, let alone a team.
No, they do. They do have somebody. I'm not sure who, but somebody on that staff is up there.
So when I saw the quote, and I could be off on this, and I apologize if I am, he said that they couldn't get the best looks from it, the scoreboard, they were a little late. So if they have somebody on that Deontay Johnson play, if they have somebody, maybe they need to replace that somebody, because it doesn't feel like that they're really doing an adequate job at everything they're doing.
Yeah, first of all, when you're in a different stadium, those people will control what you see. I get all that. But you have to go by your feel sometimes. And even if Mike didn't see it, then someone upstairs should have. There was no excuse for that. That was something they should have challenged. But again, to make it easier, just change the rule and everything was looked at then. What's the difference? They stopped the game enough as it is.
Oh, no. That was a touchdown, and it really changed the tide of the game, even though the Steelers still won. But if it would have been a different circumstance, it would have been very the gravity of the situation would have been increased. I will say, though, that this is probably the best draft class I've seen in years, easily. I think Keanu Benton's a monster.
Yeah, he is. I mean, they all do. There's a guy, a seventh-round pick, and I give him credit just because he made the roster, Spencer Anderson. You don't see many seventh-round picks make the roster, and he's not playing because everybody's been healthy. I'll tell you another guy. He was a free agent signing, Ernesto, but Isaac Seumalo has not given up a sack since week six. He's playing at a very high level, the level that I think they saw with him in Philadelphia, and that's huge for that offensive line.
Once that offensive line gelled in, Seumalo figured out the chemistry that should have been that Tunch always used to talk about.
Uh-huh.
He really has taken off, and I think Broderick Jones is not only just a complete stud, but I think he's a really solid Pittsburgh Steeler kind of leader, like old-school kind of guy, like a Cam Hayward guy.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what they do. There are some really good tackles coming out in this year's draft, and while it probably means the end of Chuks Okorafor, if they really believe still that Broderick Jones is their left tackle of the future, not right tackle. Now, he's playing well there, but that's his main position is left. Would they draft someone else, eventually at that right tackle and see what happens with Dan Moore? I don't know. That would be interesting.
If they drop Chuks, I think they gain like $7 million in cap, so that's like a no-brainer. And Dan Moore obviously can play right tackle, but then you have to look at where's their philosophy offensively. Do they want to be a run team or a pass team or just kind of a 50-50 kind of team like they were?
I think 50-50 is pretty good if you could execute it at that level. I mean, if you possess the ball as much as they did, now that's the key. But I also would like to see a quick strike ability. They haven't had that. They don't. He only has 6 touchdowns all year. That number's got to go up. Regardless of the winning, that number's got to go up, I think. And you've got to have people make plays so that you can combat a deficit of 2 touchdowns versus Kansas City, for example. You need to be able to have that in your repertoire.
For the first time in a while, if you have a 3-headed monster for receivers, Freiermuth really opened up the middle of the field. And I feel like giving them that third option outside of Pickens and Johnson, that really changes the dynamic of the offensive quick strike abilities. So I kind of feel like you really have to figure out if you have a legit third option going forward.
Right.
And I think that will change things.
All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate the call, Ernesto. We have Al. We have Bert. We have more calls on the way. Hang on, you two. We'll get to you right after this break here. Want to remind you that our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 Expressway at Cochran.com. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Ireland Contracting. Home of the nightly sports call. Shenderovich, and Fishman. That's where they got your back and not your wallet. We have a lot coming up. More calls on the way right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's a balmy Saturday in Pittsburgh. Get out and enjoy it. I'm sure people are putting lights up. And it's a good time to do that. As we get into December now, this is December the 2nd. We have a lot of people on the lines at 412-928-9370 talking about the Steelers in Arizona tomorrow. The schedules that lie ahead with all these teams. some of the bigger games, and I love watching that San Francisco Eagles game. That's going to be fun. And a full day of college to determine who's going to be in the college football playoff, plus the Penguins and Flyers. Let's go out to Bert. Joins us in the car. Hey, Bert, what's up?
Hey, Bob, how you doing today?
Good, thank you very much.
Long time listener. I respect your opinion. I got a question about Jari's goal. Had he missed that goal, would that have been considered icing?
Yes. It wasn't a shorthanded situation. No, they had an extra attacker, but if you're not shorthanded, you can't do that. But I think more players are doing that. They're taking chances, you know, because the metrics say you can do it. Now, he did that, you know, it could also blow up in your face if it doesn't go in.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was talking to a guy this morning, and he said he thought that was a very selfish move on Jari's part. And I said, what are you talking about? At the very least, he got the puck all the way down the other end of the goal.
Yeah, but if you're not shorthanded, then it's icing, and that would bring it back. I'm trying to jog my memory. I don't think it was shorthanded, so you know that's a chance you take. But a lot of players will take it, and again, more teams are trying to do that. You could put the game away rather easily. Yeah, anytime. All right, Bert. Have a good day. Let's go to Al, who's up in Uniontown. Hello, Al. How are you today?
How you doing, Bob?
Good. How are you?
Good. Two quick questions, and I'll hang up and listen. I saw that Jonathan Taylor had hand surgery, and we got them after these two home games.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you thought he was going to be ready and to play against us. And my second question was, if it were you, or do you think the Steelers will put Minka on a snap count for this Sunday since he's just coming back? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, brother. Thanks. Number one, I think Minka Fitzpatrick's 100%. If he's 100%, he's going to play what he needs to play. He's been out for several weeks, and they made sure that hamstring is back to what it needs to be. And what was his first question, Joel? Now I forget. I was looking something up. Do you remember?
If Jonathan Taylor will be ready for the Steelers game.
2 to 3 weeks. That'll be the answer you're looking for, Al. 2 to 3 weeks. So that puts him right up to that December 16th game. You know, I guess you could wrap that up and do it. We'll see. So, you know, the bottom line is they have a lot of things working for them. There's no question about it. I just want to pass this along. Larry Richard has just texted me this. The Bill Frelick Memorial Award, now in its fifth year. The winner is Courtney Dunn from McKeesport. We saw him in a game we did at Acrisure Stadium in WPIO Finals. Courtney Dunn wins. There are a lot of great candidates, and this is the fifth year for a prestigious award named after the legendary Bill Frelick at Pitt. So this was out at Longview Golf Club, and Courtney Dunn is your winner, so we congratulate him. Now let's go out to the lines. Frank in Coriopolis joins us right now. Hey, Frank.
Hi, Bob. I just got two little quick questions. It's one of these things get under your skin, and it just bugs the heck out of you. One, it seems to me it was about 2 weeks. It wasn't last week. It was about 2 weeks ago that T.J. Watt wrapped the quarterback up in the backfield, but he didn't take him to the ground. I think in that game he got two sacks. Should that have been counted as a sack, or do you have to take him to the ground to count as a sack?
Well, if they blow the whistle, is that what happened? I'm trying to remember the play you're talking about.
It seems to me he just wrapped him up, and he wrapped him up standing up.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a loss, sure.
I got credit for that.
It's a sack if that's how you do it.
Okay, for some reason he didn't get credit. Okay, the other thing, if you could explain to me, when I was watching it, it drove me nuts. I think it was 2 weeks ago again. It was in the third quarter. The Steelers were on their own 30-yard line, and they went for it on fourth and one. What's the explanation there?
Again, it depends on the time and circumstance of the game.
In the third quarter?
Well, I mean, are you sure of that? I don't remember ever seeing a thing where they went for it on from the 30, their own 30-yard line?
Yes.
Joel, do you remember that at all? And I'm trying to, again, I got to go back and I don't remember them. I guarantee you if that had happened, we would have been talking about it, you know, successful or not.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I can't understand. Nobody really gave it any attention, and I'm thinking, what the hell are you doing? You know, third and one on your own, or fourth and one on your own 30.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times, though, the fourth and one metrics tell you you're going to get to it. Again, I got to go look back at it, Frank, but normally fourth down plays are successful if they're 1 yard If you look around the league, the metrics will tell you that. That's how the tush push came to be, and that's what, you know, teams would like to do. And quite frankly, Kenny Pickett's good at it. But I got to double check that, and I will. But thank you, Van. I appreciate the call. All right, Gus is in Beaver County. You know when Gus is on, he always likes to talk hockey. I bet you're doing it again today, Gus.
It's a hockey night in Pittsburgh.
It certainly is.
First of all, the positives on the Penguins, I'm very pleasantly surprised in the last 3 weeks with the goaltending play. In the last couple games, I'm happy to see the third and fourth line contributing. But, Bob, I look over my shoulder at the Vancouver Canucks and Rick Tocchet. Number one power play in the league. And I heard a little birdie tell me that my old buddy, Eddie Johnston, is consulting with Rick Tocchet over the phone. We have this gentleman here in town who's just a wonderful guy and knows more about the power play probably than anybody living on the face of this earth. Why they don't bring him into the loop? And I, as a hockey fan, know, Bob, I don't want to see pretty goals out there. I want to see some grit and some dirt and some nastiness on a power play. Get it to the net, crash the net, look for rebounds. Come on, this isn't rocket science.
No, I think we were talking about that earlier, and I think it's a good idea. Why not? Eddie Johnston has been around for a long time, and he does sit up there every single game by Craig Patrick. So, any kind of resource that you can have, especially for a struggling unit like this one, it may be personnel. It may be putting bigger bodies. I've said that from the beginning. I'd like to see either Carter or Zahorna. They've been out there. Zahorna has from here and there. But it's got to be a situation where you take advantage of the extra man. How do you do that? You put pucks on net. How do you do that? You get rebounds. How do you do that? You cause a little helter-skelter from the defense. You know, if you're going to make passes, you're helping them out. If you go around the perimeter as much as they like to do, sure, they're going to score a beautiful goal once in a while, but the numbers suggest that that is very rare these days. These power or these shorthanded teams are pretty good at staving off, cross ring passes.
Right. Hey, Bob, I just want to give kudos again to Rick Tocchet. What a job he's doing out there. And another thing, Bob, I'm sure you're going to agree with me on this. The play of Drew O'Connor recently and Big Z Zahorna, I'm happy to see we're integrating some young legs into the lineup. And what an interesting hockey season we're going to have here. I mean, there's just so much parity in the league. On any given night, anything can happen. Look at San Jose last night going into New Jersey and beating the Devils, even though the Devils are pretty shorthanded right now.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I think Tocchet, Alvin, and Jim Rutherford have done a very good job. They got some real snipers. I think two of the top four goal scorers are from Vancouver.
All right. Hey, Bob, belated Buona Festa to you and your family for Thanksgiving. And Buon Natale, Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners. Thanks for taking
my call. Right back to you. I appreciate that at 412-928-9370. Let's keep them rolling. We got Mike in Uniontown joining us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Bob. Always good to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bob, you know there's a play going on. I seen Kenny do it last week, and Ben was good for it. It's third and three, and he's throwing a ball down the field 30 yards. What am I missing here? Isn't that football 101?
But you can't do that every time you have a third and three. If it works, we're not talking about that. If it doesn't work, we are talking about that. But that could be true of every play call that you see. I want to see, and I thought they did a good job last week of getting into second, third, and short, which gives them options. So especially if you're on the other side of the 50 and you want to go for it and it's a four-down territory kind of situation, that gives you options. But you've got to be good with stacking first downs and keeping things moving. That's how you help your own defense, and that's what happened. T.J. Watt said last week that was the best thing that could have happened. They were very, very limited on the field, which makes them fresher and better.
That's my whole point, Bob. Get the first down.
No, I get it, but I mean, I can tell you a lot of third and threes where there's a draw play and you're not happy with it because they don't get it. It's the same concept. I mean, you got to look at what you think the defense is doing and try to play that little chess game in there, and I think that's what we'll see. What these two can do moving forward with these next several games. 2 in 1 week, that's going to be challenging.
Thanks for your time, buddy.
All right, Mike, thank you. And before we go to break, Joe in Monroeville. Hey, Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Bob, how you doing? Happy holidays to you and yours,
first of all.
Hey, listen, I got 2 points about the Steelers. I'd love to know, first of all, how that touchdown catch was missed as far as throwing a challenge flag. I just don't understand that. You care to let's see, I know it's been talked about ad nauseum, I presume, all week long.
Yeah, and all day long here too. But I will tell you that I think the onus should be taken off of coaches in that situation. because I've repeated this, but it's true. They call them, we're only going to automatically review scoring plays. Well, why not possible scoring plays? That was a scoring play, but because the rule is what it is, you can't use them. You have to throw a challenge flag, and I guess they just didn't see enough to make them think it was going to be conclusive, but they should have.
You know what, though? Isn't there someone, you know, like in the organization, like watching the game?
Yeah, they're up there.
Back at the hotel or at home or whatever?
No, in the press box. I mean, and you have easy access to do it. They should have done it. But looking back, I think at the end of this year, they could make it easy on themselves by saying any possible scoring play. If you think it's a scoring play, even if you called it incomplete, they should have the time to look at it.
That's a good idea. Hey, one more thing I'd like to mention with you. You know, was the last game, was that the first game back for Freiermuth?
Yes. No. He was back the first week before that. He only had one target and one catch.
Okay, was he active? So he was active for the game. So I was going to say, you know, maybe that's why everybody thought the team was so good without Matt Canada, because Matt Canada didn't have Freiermuth.
Yeah, but it goes back beyond just this year. It's been for, like, since, you know, he first got here as that offensive coordinator from a quarterback's coach. It's just been the same kind of stuff. And sooner or later, you got to make changes. If it's not the personnel, then it has to be the coaches.
True that, I guess, yeah.
All right, Matt. I appreciate it, Joe. Thanks. Enjoy the game tomorrow. You'll see it on KDKA. We begin with our BetMGM pregame show, followed by 2 hours of postgame, all on KDKA-TV tomorrow. So we'll take a break right now. I want to remind you, once again, thanks to our sponsors at PNC, Number One Cochrane, Iron Rock Tap House, Ireland Contracting, and Shenderovich, and Fishman. And it's also time for the annual City of Pittsburgh Gingerbread House Competition. Visit this amazing display. You can see it in the grand lobby of the City-County building, including the Odyssey Pittsburgh Gingerbread House display. Joel, do you have anything to do with that? Are you part of the gingerbread team that puts it together?
I am not, but I wish everyone the best.
You can vote online for your favorite to win the People's Choice Award. Details at pittsburghpa.gov/gingerbread. We'll be back with more calls up until 1 o'clock when Paul Alexander takes over right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And thank you, as always, for joining us today. We do appreciate it, and obviously love to talk to you at 412-928-9370. Thank you once again to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. We'll have 2 hours of postgame tomorrow following the Steeler game on KDKA. Included in that is a one-hour special Steelers edition of Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call. Shenderovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. Big game of the weekend to me would be San Francisco at Philadelphia. Frisco really needs this. If they're trying to get the number one seed, you have to go there and beat Philadelphia. 8-3 are the Niners. They've gotten healthy. They're a much different team when they are. 10-1 are the Eagles. Star-studded people every which way. Christian McCaffrey is averaging almost 5 yards a carry. He's embarking on 1,000 yards. He also has 500 yards in the receiving department, which is incredible when you think about it. And his touchdowns at 16. So far in the first, how many games are we in? 11 games of the season. Pretty good stuff there. A big acquisition for them. But Ayuk, Samuel, Kittle, they're all healthy and ready to go. And Brock Purdy has been terrific as well. 19 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions, 112 passer rating overall this time. A lot of people want to always label him as a systems quarterback. But listen, you got to understand the system, sure. Does the system make you better? Sure. But you have to execute the system, and it's not always that easy. And I think he showed that when he was here in Pittsburgh in week one of this season. Other games to watch with regard to the Steelers. You know, you have this game with Cincinnati. Now, I think they're pretty much dead, because when you're 5-6, Burrow's out for the year, all 6 losses in conference, that's hard to dig out from that, and I don't think they will, regardless of what they do tomorrow. Another interesting one is Indianapolis at Tennessee. Now, the Colts are just like the Steelers, battling for a wild card at this point. They're 6-5. Steelers have them up, but you know that big game coming up in a couple of weeks at Indy could be a tiebreaker between the two. Be interesting to watch. The Browns, with Joe Flacco, head to the Rams. And they're just like the Steelers at 7-4, but they got Flacco going. Who knows what's going to happen in that game? That'll be difficult. Another game to watch is Denver at Houston. And again, both these teams in the mix. Houston coming off a loss last week. They're 6-5. Denver's put it together, an 0-3 start. They are now 6-5, and they have a path, you would think, to get to the playoffs. One team that really desperately needs to win is the Chargers. They're 4-7, and they're just, I don't know what their problem is. They just can't seem to get over the hump. They score points, but they just can't do it. But, as I said at the beginning of this program, Jacksonville was 4-7 last year after 11 games, just like they are, and they ended up getting into the playoffs. Now, they didn't have Kansas City in their division, certainly. That makes a big difference, so you can't get it that way. But Jacksonville put it together, and these next five games will determine what happens with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The schedule is in their favor. You know, the Ravens have tough games at Jacksonville, at San Francisco. Then they have home games starting next week to the Rams, which should be fine. Then they have Miami coming to Baltimore and the Steelers. So four of their next five are against teams that are playoff worthy, which will be interesting to see. We started this all talking about college football playoffs. And so I want to go back to that because I think that's going to be the number one issue today. Some very interesting games. But the biggest one of all, I would imagine, would be Georgia-Alabama. Because if Alabama, that's where it's going to start. If Alabama should upset them, then you have to ask the question, which of these teams? Washington is in. They punched the ticket last night with a 34-31 win against Oregon. A very good team. And the fact that they beat them twice this year in a 13-0 season tells you all you need to know about them. No debate. If Alabama wins, there is a little bit of debate. What happens to Georgia? Does Alabama move up to the point where they could be a four team, even though Texas beat them? Texas, if they win, would have a claim. Then you say to yourself, all right, can Texas beat Oklahoma State? They should. How about if they don't? Florida State. See, I think Florida State has to be given the benefit of the doubt. I think the committee thinks this way as well. If they go undefeated, if they win the ACC championship by beating Louisville, I don't care who their quarterback is. You have to give them the benefit of the doubt. Third-string quarterback, sure. But listen, they deserved it based on being a Power 5 conference. And they go undefeated, just like Washington did. Can we debate the strength of schedule of all these teams? Sure we can. But honestly, I think you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. Nick in Florida joins us on the Fan Hotline at 412-928-9370. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good.
On the golf course right now trying to solve a debate here.
Take me with you, brother. I need some golf.
Come on down, man. TPC Prestancia down here.
Oh, nice golf course, too.
Yeah. We're playing, playing some bad golf. So, it's a nice golf course.
Well, I'm flattered that you would think to call me here in the middle of your golf round. That's a nice time.
Well, I'm in the right now. We're selling debate. I'm like, who else to call than Bob Pompiani, So, my question to you, Bob, would you allow Antonio Brown to retire as a Pittsburgh Steeler?
Boy, that's a good question, Nick. I think time heals a lot of things. If you remember how James Harrison departed and went to New England, and there was a lot of controversy about that. In fact, he was a FaceTime against a Mike Tomlin press conference where he and Antonio were together, and it seemed weird. Yep. I think time heals that. I think in time, as long as Antonio Brown fixes his life a little bit, my goodness, he's doing things that display CTE symptoms, even though we don't know that, but yeah, I would say yes in time, though. I don't think it's going to be something to happen. I think he's Hall of Fame worthy as well. A lot of people will debate me on that. But I just look at when he was playing, what he did while he was playing. I don't think there was a receiver like that in the NFL for a stretch of 5 or 6 years.
No doubt. No doubt, Bob. Well, I appreciate it. That's why I said time heals all, and I needed to hear from Bob himself. So I appreciate
Nick, I'm flattered that you would take time out of your golf round, but thank you very much, man. That makes me happy.
All right.
Go get him.
All right. See you, Bob.
All right. That's a good way to wrap it up, right? So he's on the go. I mean, that's going to be an interesting question down the road. And he's certainly worthy of being in the Hall of Honor, I guess. You got to have to debate all these situations because of how he left, because of what happened, all this stuff. But for his time here in Pittsburgh, absolutely. And I think in time they will do that. We'll see how it goes at 412-928-9370. All right. Big weekend coming up. We got all the college. We got the Penguins and the Flyers tonight, and then big football tomorrow as the Steelers begin a stretch of their schedule, which is very much doable for them. Before I go, I want to talk about the fan weather here because that's what we are going to do. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Check Red Tag Bonus Sale, which is going on right now through December the 4th. SunChevy.com. Today, as you look outside, it's balmy. It's golfable at 59 degrees. Maybe saturated because of the rain, but still, who cares? Go and hit the balls, even if you have to go to a simulator or outside. Scally's Range is open. That's a good place. Tonight, cloudy, passing shower at low of 47, which is still very mild for this time of year. All right, I'm going to pave the way for Paul Alexander to come in here. He's going to hold down the ship until what time, Nick? Or Joel, we got 3:30, is that the time?
3:30, and then it's Bama, Georgia via Westwood 1.
And that game is going to be highly watched on KDKA as well. If you have a TV, that's where you're going to see it. Thanks for joining me. Really appreciate it. I always love talking to people, especially when we get into this kind of the season, because there's a lot of big-time games going on. Joel Nelson, always appreciate your time as well. Paul Alexander is next, right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.